They say to fully enjoy life, you should collect experiences, not things. Physical things you buy become outdated. They lose their appeal. But an experience lasts forever and grows over the years. That's why I want you to know about the Mervis Diamonds South Africa Safari coming this March 2025. Enjoy a five-star luxury adventure with native South African and longtime fixture on the DC diamond scene, Ronnie Mervis himself, leading the group. I've been on the trip twice, and it is spectacular. You'll fly to Cape Town, see the legendary Table Mountain, visit wine country and the spectacular coast. Then it's off to the Kapama Game Reserve to see the Big Five in their natural habitat: lion, elephant, Cape buffalo, leopard, and rhino. Finally, a tour of the Cullinan Diamond Mine in Johannesburg to see where the sparkly magic comes from. All told, 11 luxury days on the ground, all-inclusive, for just $6,300 a person. This is it, people. The banger safari trip of a lifetime. I've been twice with Ronnie. You will not be disappointed. I guarantee it. Book now. Space is limited, and it's filling up quick. For more information, go to MervisDiamond.com/safari or call travel consultant John Almeida at 888-722-4872 and tell him I sent you. Remember, life is short. Collect memories, not things. As the leaves turn and the air gets crisp, it is time for some serious action. Bet on Lord Football, from heart-pounding college rivalries to the bone-crushing NFL matchups. But that's not all. The ice is getting cold and the courts are heating up. Get in on the NHL face-off and NBA tip-offs as both leagues kick off their seasons. And if you want to get really nuts, bet on the election. Won't that be fun? If you've been waiting for the right time to get in, the time is now. Make your winning move today. Sign up at mybookie.ag. Use promo code ZABE, Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo to be eligible for all promotions. Once again, promo code ZABE to get in on the sweet action. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie.
Look, Brennan, here's the thing. It's the Catalina fucking wine mixer, okay?
Pa! Are you saying pow? What are you saying?
New open, who dis? Gonna start each one now with a classic movie or TV clip, no more than 10 seconds. Send in suggestions starting right now. If you don't know, Google me. Feeling down and dirty, feeling kind. What's up on a Tuesday, October 29, 2024? Thank you for downloading. Coming up, Andy Pollin on the Commanders Miracle in Maryland, the relentless arrogance of galaxy brain football coaches, and some incredible numbers from this weekend in the NFL. But first, I picked Catalina Wine Mixer because I feel like I pulled it off by going to Jacksonville for some golf, some reverie, a football game. Packers won, so that was good. Weather was great. No travel problems either. Flew home on an Embraer 175, a miniature 737, and I love them. They're narrow body, medium range, but I'm about it, baby. Made in Brazil, believe it or not, the Embraer. And if somebody would put together an entire airline of nothing but Embraers, either your E-170, E-175, even go up to the E-195, I would definitely fly it pretty much wherever. Now, that's, of course, barring any sort of need to go fully West Coast to East Coast, but, you know, for the middle parts of the country, halfway across, fuck yeah. To me, the jet feels like it's a real jet, but it's just 2x2. And the seats, I swear, are bigger than your typical Southwest Airlines 737 configuration. I believe the pitch is a little bit looser. I believe the width is a little bit better. I would do it, but hard to try to cherry pick, like, okay, who's got an Embraer? Now, if you think I'm nuts, if you think these planes suck, let me know. For fellow aviation nerds. Okay, we could talk airlines all day. You didn't come here for an airplane podcast. You came here for a statue podcast, maybe. The Dwayne Wade statue is getting hella press at this point. It's gone viral because everyone thinks it does not look like Dwayne Wade. The weird thing is, Dwayne Wade himself was heavily involved in the making of it, and according to stories, he says he loves it. The pose is of him pointing down to the ground at his feet in front of him with an open mouth, not quite smile, but a yell, a shout of celebration in honor of when he said, "This is my house," when he hit the iconic game-winning three against the Chicago Bulls in 2009. The statue was designed by Timeless Creations' Omri Amrani and Oscar Leon, and they said they just wanted to make sure it was perfect. According to Wade, he worked with the sculptors, making sure they got every detail right, including the fact that he was chewing gum at the time of this celebration. Said Wade, "I want to make sure that every fan, when they see it, you know, they remember my career, and I think that sums up my career. People are going to be driving by, and they're going to look up and be like, this is my house. That's going to be pretty cool from the street." No, they're going to drive by and go, what the fuck is that? Who is that guy? You know it's bad when they're already doing side-by-sides showing Lawrence Fishburne from The Matrix with the electrodes strapped to his head. And you're like, yeah, no, that looks closer than actually Dwayne Wade. Wade says it's beautiful. And of course, he acknowledges I'm biased, but he's happy with it. Said that he, consulted with them. There's pictures of him looking at the unfinished product or project, I guess, as it was being made. The Miami Heat should have gone with a contest where they showed this picture to 1,000 fans, says ESPN's Jeff Darlington. And anyone who guesses it's Dwayne Wade correctly gets to keep the statue. Another user on Twitter said, "This is a joke, right? Because literally not one feature. The nose, the lips, the eyes, none of it looks anything like Dwayne Wade." Other people compared it, like I said, to Lawrence Fishburne. Some said George Foreman. There's been a couple of others. Will Manso, the sports director of WPLG Local 10 News, said the statue looks better up close and in person. Oh, okay then. Looks better in person. You gotta get the right light. It looks pretty good. In the end, Dwayne is happy, and that's all that matters. He had 4 trips with the sculptors to get the right pose, and look, he says it's beautiful. Okay. That sounds to me like spin control. I've seen people order bobbleheads for their groomsmen of the groom that look more accurate than this. Of course, this is not the first time that fans have been unimpressed by an immortalized artwork of their favorite celeb. In 2017, a bronze bust of soccer star Cristiano Ronaldo bewildered fans for failing to capture his chiseled features. Earlier this year, a statue of Lakers legend Kobe Bryant faced criticism not just for its lack of resemblance, but also for spelling errors on its marble base. Yeah, there's no red squiggly line that shows up to say you're making a typo when you're working in marble. The incorrect word was coach's decision. Coach's decision. Also, they misspelled Jose Calderon's name as well as Von Wafer. Okay. Again, you got to get the details right. You're working in either marble or in bronze. There is another notable outcry of a statue of Lucille Ball, writes NPR, that was unveiled in her hometown of Celeron, New York. In 2009, it was dubbed Scary Lucy by locals. After a viral social media campaign, the statue was replaced with a new one by another artist in 2016. And just last month, people in the UK were underwhelmed by a new sculpture of Queen Elizabeth II unveiled last month in Northern Ireland. The statue depicted Elizabeth in a skirt, rubber boots, and a headscarf, sparking the joke that it looked more like Mrs. Doubtfire than the late queen. Hey, it's hard getting facial features just right from all angles in three dimensions and to get the proportions right. But then again, you took the money to make the statue, and I bet you it cost a pretty penny. Tyreek Stevenson has said, my bad. He, the jackass on the Hail Mary against the Commanders, says it will not happen again. Well, shoot, I hope not. He was seen jawing back and forth with fans as the final play began and was even still turned away from the play, getting his sick burns in on the drunken idiots at FedEx Field, Northwest Bank Stadium, as the players were coming within the 20-yard line, basically. He finally turned around after Bear fans were seen pointing at the field, saying, hey, dummy, there's a play going on. He then ran back into the play, jumped up, tipped the pass, trying to be helpful, just trying to help here. No, you did not help. You actually fucked it all up. Stevenson said, honestly, I don't feel like I should probably share what intimate side of me that I share with the guys because I know they let them down and those guys hold me to a higher standard, such as everybody in the building. But the brief message is, I apologize to the boys for letting them down. I let the moment get too big and it's something that can never happen again and won't ever happen again. No, you were just being a jackass. Have you noticed how these things never happened 30 years ago? I mean, this has never happened in sports. There have been moments in which guys who have been complete ginormous jackasses have met with instant ha-ha karma because they were showboating, celebrating, doing the wrong thing. But this did not exist in the more organic 80s and early 90s of sports. It just didn't. It was unthinkable. The culture had yet to be polluted to the point where a player could even think about doing this. Because even if he did do this, and the play did turn out to be a failure and the Commanders did not win, the coach would still see it and would pull him aside and give him the old Norm Van Brocklin speech with the threat of, oh yeah, we'll cut your ass. We don't care. But the money has grown and the scrutiny has exploded in the NFL. And so there are talking class members like myself and a bunch of others who would make a big deal of this if, God forbid, the Bears were to do the smart thing, which is cut the guy. You can't play with him. You can't trust him. Too dumb to be relied upon, no matter how much he says, it'll never happen again. Oh, really? You're telling me that your software that produced this dumb play and the dumb play of getting a 15-yard penalty by putting your finger inside of Sam Cosby's face mask right in front of the refs, well after the play, 15 yards, free set of downs. If your software is running those programs, the OS is corrupt. You have to wipe the hard drive. If it was me, I'd cut him, and I wouldn't think twice. But don't worry, he says he's not going to do it again. Right.
We want you to play as you're instructed to play. Understand?
Yes, sir.
You line up where you're supposed to line up. None of that hairy high school fake this, fake do what we're told. Yes, sir. You can't play football in the NFL if you're not coachable.
Yeah, no shit. Talk about being coachable. Of course, Eberflus also defended such galaxy brain idiocy as giving a carry at the goal line to his checks notes backup center. Duh. Gee, do you think there's anything more to scoring a touchdown than just handing the ball to somebody big? Yeah. It takes footwork and vision and knowing how to fit through a tiny crack and confined space and knowing how to take the handoff, being comfortable with it, having done it your entire life as a football player and in the pros and on and on. And ball security once you're smashed into the line of scrimmage. But he's big. And the Bears did it with Fridge. How hard can it be? Well, probably not that hard. Probably worked in practice, maybe, although you're not really hitting in practice. But you're just trusting a very valuable thing, the ball. The entire world in football is the ball. Possess it and treat it and cherish it and protect it like it's your world. Don't give it to a backup center at the goal line. Give it to a regular back. Because, in addition, when they see that guy back there, the other team's going to go, I bet you that big guy's going to get it, because otherwise, why would he be in the game? Because chances are, if he's in the game, there's a high likelihood they're going to feed it to him. Otherwise, really, what good is he? Other than perhaps a lead blocker. But hey, remember, I'm an idiot for saying I could call plays with a full year of tutelage and really studying the art of it and the sequencing and the rhythm of it, and I wouldn't call shit like that, that's for sure. But I'm the one they mock. They're the ones going, no, you're not smart enough. You got to know football. You got to know ball, man. Oh, yeah? Well, I know to blitz the Hail Mary, always. Five guys, at least. Maybe six. Just fucking snuff that play out right away. And I also know, don't give the ball at the goal line to a backup center, no matter how good it looks on paper or sounded or maybe worked in practice. Dummies.
Comes down to one last play. And it's going to be getting longer by the second. You're all the way back at the 30-yard line. Now you can step into it. Here comes the Hail Mary with the game on the line. And the ball is caught! Caught! It's a miracle! It's Noah Brown! Oh, my goodness! This town is going crazy! That's a madhouse in Landover, Maryland!
He did it!
And to think that my boy was there. And he went there with his son and his friends, and he saw it live. How good was that?
It was incredible. Now, let me explain where I was. I was not in like the upper deck of the stadium with my shirt off. Let's be clear about that. I was.
Why not? You're in good shape. You can pull it off.
I was in a luxury suite with people from
so station. So.
Okay. I'm just saying so that 15 years down the road when we start to tell war.
Oh, right, when you start embellishing. And I took my shirt off and I fought the biggest, nastiest bear fan I could find at that moment. Yeah, that would be an exaggeration. You're in a sweet
shotgunned a beer, you know, all those things that you
did you slam a beer after this? Okay.
No. But let me set this up.
All right.
I have cousins in Chicago, and my cousin Howard Berger is a 40-year season ticket holder for the Bears.
Wow.
And he even went to London to see them play a couple of weeks ago. So we set this up when the schedule came out that he would come in with his son and his friend Rob, and the four of us would go to the game in the suite that my radio station rents or leases, however that works. And
the current radio station, which is 6:30 a.m., the sports capital.
Exactly. Yes. So we went to the game, and they were very excited. They were all wearing their Bears jerseys. You know, I don't wear jerseys.
I saw the photo, and you did not wear your Commander's jersey, which is disappointing. You should have, but you didn't because you don't. Because you don't believe grown men should wear jerseys.
Right. I do on a special occasion, like number retirements, but other than that, I don't do that. So anyway, the game was originally scheduled for 1:00, and they scheduled a flight that left at 10:15.
Oh, that's right. You told me this last week that they were going to have to maybe beat an early exit, and this game did not go quick, if I recall.
Well, and so then it got flexed 10 days in advance, which is what the NFL can do because the NFL is a television show.
About
and they say to people who make long-term plans, well, sorry about that, but we'd like to have this game in prime time.
Right.
So it was going to be a hustle. And this is one of those games that comes down to the wire, and they start to get a little bit nervous. And
nervous about the outcome or nervous about making their flight?
Both, but more importantly,
making their flight.
For practical purposes, they got to get to the flight.
Wow! So they are facing down the barrel of an all-time ale disaster.
Exactly.
Oh, well, my God.
Yeah. So All right, Bears score, 25 seconds to go. It's a full house. They know the parking lots are going to be jammed, people, you know, staying till the end and then leaving. So they think, okay, it's safe enough now. We can go.
Wait, you did not go with them, did you?
Well, here's the thing.
Oh, Jesus, Andy. Now, listen,
I had met up with them and parked my car in a convenient space right off the Beltway. And
I mean a convenient space right off the Beltway?
In other words, when they would be heading to the airport to go back,
they would shuttle you to your car in remote, off-market parking. What'd you pay for your spot?
Well, it was included in the suite, so yeah.
Certified lot you were in, not some patch of grass.
No, let me explain it again. I parked in a spot that was on their way back to the airport. So in other words,
at a business, on a median, in the woods. Where'd you park?
I parked near my old elementary school, North Chevy Chase Elementary
School.
So
you parked in a elementary school for free?
Yes.
Fucking cheap
because
bastard.
Because I had one parking spot. But
cheap
also,
bastard.
Listen to me. It would be convenient because they would be on their way to the airport. It was 2 seconds off the Beltway. They could drop me off at my car and then continue on to Dulles Airport.
So, as
I was seeing the game come down to the end, I was thinking, well, let me just hedge a little bit. And there's someone else who worked at the station who was able to drop me off on his way home. So I said, go ahead, get to the airport. Plus, you'll have to spend the extra 5 minutes to go off the Beltway to drop me off. Okay.
Okay, so you've already sized up. This could come down to the very end, and I don't want to deal with it. So let me stay to the bitter, bitter end. I can't believe that you, too, didn't want to start hoofing it out once the Bears had scored the go-ahead and seemingly game-sealing touchdown.
Well, I also didn't want to slow them up even 4 or 5 minutes to drop me off at my car. So I wanted to prevent that as well. So they left, and I congratulated them by text as they were on their way home. I also told them the radio station that the game was on so that when they were in their car.
Just in case.
Yeah, just in case.
Oh, my God.
So. Anyway, the play happens, and I mean, you're talking about 60-year-old men chest bumping in the box. I mean, it's unbelievable.
It is, Andy, the greatest moment in that dilapidated, unfortunate idea of a building's entire football history. I believe it's better than RG3 electrifying down the left sideline against the Vikings. I believe it's better than anything in the newer version beating of the Cowboys in week 17 to put the Commanders to seal the division. I believe it's better than all that. Has to be.
Yeah.
Is there one that you can think of a better moment in that building?
No, for the Commanders/football team/Redskins. Not given the history that was involved. Now remember the first game that was ever played there in 1997, Gus Frerotte threw a touchdown pass to Michael Westbrook at overtime to win the game. And that kind of christened the place.
But that doesn't even come close to this. Are you kidding me?
No, but the hope of the future for the guy that did it is so incredible. And that's really what adds to all of that. Plus, it's a team that right now could win the division. I mean, they're playing for seeding in the playoffs. It's incredible.
All right, you're zooming ahead of the moment itself.
I understand.
You're zooming ahead of what this shot in the arm meant to the fan base and the city, or this town is going crazy, as you heard in the Jim Nantz call. What town is that? Is that the little sleepy town of Ral John, Maryland, where the stadium is located? Because there's no fucking towns anywhere on that side of the D.C. market. It is all urban and suburban sprawl.
Yeah.
Big box stores, congestion, highways, apartment complexes, as far as the eye can see. Town. This town is going crazy. Get out of here, Nantz.
Yeah, it's almost like, you know, with the Giants. And East Rutherford is going insane. Right. Yeah.
What's in East Rutherford? Nothing. Swamps, yeah. Right?
Diners, right.
Yeah, right. Okay. So you were in the suite to the bitter end.
Yeah. Oh, not bitter. The incredible end.
The incredible end, yes. But you were there to the very, very end.
Absolutely.
If if your ride to your car had said, okay, we need to beat the initial wave out of the building. There's no chance they're going to get a Hail Mary. Let's go. What would you have said?
Well, if I didn't have an alternative ride home, I wouldn't have had a choice. So I would have had to go with them, but that would have made for a very awkward car ride because as I called my cousin when he got to the airport, he said they heard the Hail Mary call on the radio, and in the car, the three of them, dead silence for an entire half an hour.
No!
Not a word was spoken.
Did they end up making their flight?
They did. That was the only solace that they actually made the flight.
Were they wearing their Bears uniforms on the flight?
I didn't ask, but yeah, that would be, you know, that might be a good idea to change once you get to Dulles Airport. Of course, you know, you also had a lot of people leaving town at that point. You know, that's probably the last flight.
Did they not try to book out of National Airport much closer?
No, I mean, they had arranged, again, these flights were arranged when we set this up months and months ago when the schedule came out.
And they would have been perfect if they had just left the game at 1 o'clock.
Well, if it was a 1 o'clock game, we could have had a leisurely dinner. You know, it would have been fine. But in Roger Goodell's NFL, they go, well, your plans. These are our plans. We want that game. Sorry about that.
Do you have any videos of yourself going crazy, mugging with your radio brohas?
No, I don't.
Any selfies after the moment, smiles and everything else?
No, I have that picture that I sent out on Facebook and I sent to you. And
okay.
Look, I have memories. You know, not everything has to be video recorded.
It's quite all right. I just was wondering. That's very much on brand for you. Now, did a tear come rolling down your cheek a la Iron Eyes Cody in the legendary 1970s commercials, Don't Pollute Our Rivers? Of course, Iron Eyes Cody was not a real Indian. He was a Sicilian. And that was pointed out in The Sopranos. Did one tear roll down your cheek like, I think we got a winner now in town?
You know, I kind of save those things for weddings and births and other things in my life right now.
Right. You got real quelling that you can actually save your tears for. Okay. But you were super happy, right? And you were super pumped up. Did you at least let out an expletive or two like, fuck yeah?
I just put my hands on my head and I said,
Oh my God, can you believe it?
That was incredible. Absolutely incredible.
Well, there's no better reaction than this guy's reaction, who has gone viral. I don't know what his name is, but he's a Commander fan with his back turned to the play, much like that dipshit Tyreek Stevenson. And he was cutting a promo for someone's social media about, you know what? The team still played really well.
I feel as though it was a good game because it was close. Like, I feel as though we won, for real. We like...
What'd I say? We won! We won!
Actually, it was Fox 5. He was being interviewed by a guy in Fox 5.
It was close. Like, I feel as though we won, for real. We like...
So the Fox 5 guy was getting reaction to what he thought was a loss?
Yes, because you can hear it in that audio clip. The guy's like, I feel like we won, for real, for real.
I feel as though it was a good game because it was close. Like, I feel as though we won, for real.
Well, that was wasted video. Good thing it's not in the days of film where you had to pay for that stuff that was wasted.
Oh, my God. But that's just one of the classic viral moments. When I first saw the video of Stevenson doing what he did, I thought, this can't be real. I said, this looks like a Key and Peele skit to me, not actual NFL football. Have you, in your lifetime of watching sports, 10 more years than I have, ever seen anything like it?
Not that I can remember. I mean, there was something, you know, minor, the late Dwayne Haskins, when he needed to take a knee to close out a game, was taking selfies with fans.
That's a good point,
Wasn't as egregious as this. I mean, this guy, as much as Jaden Daniels is celebrated in Washington, Tariq Stevenson is absolutely vilified in Chicago.
Yeah. It's going to be hard to live it down. And Eberflus is catching a lot of shit as well, and rightfully so, for a variety of fuck-ups in this game. But man, oh man. And what's funny is that Jaden Daniels is so good, and it's, to me, so clear he's the better of the two. Caleb Williams had a good fourth quarter, two good drives, but otherwise had four completions through three quarters. Four, Andy. And that's with guys they've spent a lot of money on, like DJ Moore. And and rookies like Rome Odunze. Mm-hmm. And the guy from the Chargers who's probably going to the Hall of Fame. And Cole Kmet. Four completions. Even worse, they're down there knocking on the door. It's third and goal from the five, a clear passing down, and they try to run him on a delay up the middle because they didn't trust Caleb Williams to throw the ball in that spot.
How about when they tried a refrigerator Perry run
with
a lineman who, he fumbled. Really?
Yeah.
Well, linemen aren't used to carrying the ball, of course.
Right, exactly. It's just a galaxy brain disease on steroids right there by Eberflus and the staff. But, of course, they defended all these moves. He even said, Eberflus, that the 15-yard completion of McLaurin that was tiptoe on the sideline with 1 second left didn't matter. Didn't matter. The fuck, dude?
There's no Hail Mary without that. You can't throw a Hail Mary from your own 20.
Of course. Of course. But here's what's funny about Bear fans, and I have a Bear fan in the name of Scott Dolphin who is with us every morning for a segment to do the news and just cut it up. He's from Iowa. Very smart guy. Radio lifer. He's like you, Andy, but he's Iowa nice, okay? Mm-hmm. And he loves the Bears. He's been a Bear fan his whole life. Growing up in Iowa. Makes sense, right? Mm-hmm. And I said to him, I go, dude, I'm not saying Caleb Williams is going to be a bust. He could be okay. He's off to a bit of a slow start. He was 10 for 21 on the game. I said, but you got to admit, you guys picked the wrong guy. You know that, right? You know the other guy today was better than your guy and will be better and is better. Not too early. Too early, he said. I go, bullshit. It is not too early. To me, it's as clear as day that you, Andy, and the Commanders got the better guy.
They do, but, you know, I think the two of them have the potential to be Brady and Manning down the road. You know, all
really?
Guys. Well, look, Peyton Manning threw 28 interceptions his rookie year. Would you be ready to say, no, he's better than Ryan Leaf, and you probably knew that right away, but would you say after watching Peyton Manning, the rookie, he would become Peyton Manning? I don't think so.
You can't just pull on a historical comp and say he could be like this guy. You have to look at what's in front of you. Right now, there are so many amateur hour Johnny College mistakes being made by Caleb Williams that even the color guys like Romo, who want to be given the benefit of the doubt, are pretty much low-key crushing him during the game broadcasts. If you go back and watch the game broadcast, you'll hear it and you'll see it. Of course, I don't know if you want to go back and watch it or not. You know, you miss so much of the stadium. This is your first game in attendance since when?
Since last year.
Oh, you went last year. Okay, but you're usually good for one a year. I mean, I was in a stadium with you on Sunday down in Jacksonville, and the shit that we missed was unbelievable. You know,
it is. You know, you can't really absorb the content as well when you're in the stadium. It's true.
With all the replays and the close-ups and everything else, many times I was sitting there in the blazing sun in the Jaguar-Packer game looking up at the Jumbotron, which is massive, two of them, either end of the stadium. And, of course, any second they can to run a promo for something, a paid advertisement, they will. Or some stupid game ops thing like, hey, guess what, you know, is under, which shell has the cash underneath it? One, two, or three? And you try to play that game. And not nearly enough replays for my liking. And they had one tiny corner screen dedicated to the Red Zone channel periodically. Mm-hmm. It was so small you couldn't see it. It was Michael Scott's flat screen TV episode small, but you know, that's the thing. You go pay for Roger Goodell's traveling quarterback circus. You're going to get whatever they tell you they're going to give you. And that includes games that may not start on the time that you thought or bought for the tickets.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, but there's also, you know, later this season, I think they can do it a couple of times. If they want to flex a 1 o'clock game on Sunday to Monday night, they can do that.
Oh, sure. Oh, yeah. And guess what? Look ahead to your schedule. You're going to get some shit flexed now. Watch. Have you looked ahead of your schedule and figured out which games might be flexed?
Yeah, there's a couple. But here's something else, and especially in this town. All the talk about a stadium.
Yeah, this town ain't big enough for the two of us.
The stadium issue, which is massive here because they're playing in a decrepit stadium, which the owners had to dump $75 million into just to make it inhabitable for this season. The way things are going with the NFL, what do you need stadiums for? Just play these games on a field. because they don't clearly care about, you know, the fan experience. They say they do, but when they can flex whenever they want to, what the hell? And they just run AI fans around it, make it seem like people are there. Because the television product is 100,000 times more important to the league than the in-game experience. It is.
Where did you buy that take from? What dollar store did you get that take from? That's not a serious take.
Well, look, I mean, it's exaggerated for sure. But okay, Zabe, do you remember when the NFL said, no Super Bowls in a stadium that seat less than 80,000 people? I know San Diego's a good spot, but Jack Murphy Stadium is too small. You know how many people were at the Super Bowl last year in Vegas?
64.
61,000.
61.
Yeah, 61.
Yeah, I think Taylor Swift took 3,000 seats for herself. Just spread out just a bit. I'm just kidding. No, you're right. It was the smallest venue ever. It was the smallest venue and most highest priced ticket by far.
Of course. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm looking ahead of your Cowboy game on the 24th of November is a 1 o'clocker.
Yeah.
Even though the Cowboys could be cooked at that point and Bob's Big Boy may be fired at that point. I don't know if that's a possible flex out. You're already playing the Eagles on Thursday night. So that's already a night game. The Steeler game is at home on the 10th. There's going to be a ton of Steeler fans invading. Just know that. That's a 1 o'clocker. They could theoretically flex that. The Giants game before that is not going to be flexed. That's at the Meadowlands. Giants are already on national TV too much. You got the Titans after the Cowboys on December 1st at the Saints. Ick. Eagles again, 1 o'clock, week 16. That one, ugh. That game, assuming you and the Eagles keep playing like they're playing, that's got flex written all over it. That's Sunday Night Football on December 22nd. You kidding me? And then, oh, shit, I didn't know this, Andy. Kirk back to FedEx again, this time with the Falcons.
They don't know when it's going to be played. That could be Saturday or Sunday at any time. Yeah,
I know. And then you got the Cowboys, also a TBD on date and time. What a fucking league. They're like, we'll tell you what day it's going to be played soon enough. Pipe down, people. You trying to make plans to go places and see things.
Yeah. And how about the guy who wants to buy tickets to take his son and gives it to him on Christmas or Hanukkah?
Tough shit.
Oh, sorry. Next day is a school day. We're not going to be able to do that. Sorry. Roger Goodell wanted that game.
Right. As if that play and the stupidity of not blitzing the Hail Mary, which I said before you came on, I said will become the de facto strategy now going forward. Because did you know that pass by Jaden Daniels was the longest time to pass since StatCast began in 2016 that they've been tracking it? Took 12.9 seconds to get that ball off. No quarterback, even one running around, has ever held the ball for 13 seconds before launching it until last night.
Yeah, and that kind of surprises me, because if you go back and watch YouTube of Fran Tarkenton, it seemed like he was running around a lot longer than that.
He might have been running around 9 or 10 seconds, which is a hell of a long time, but this was 12 seconds. And boy, that spy that they had in case Jaden Daniels ran for it. I know. What is there, a walk-off run from 50 yards out? Hello?
First of all, The spy is like 30 yards off him. He's the fastest guy in the league. So the guy's got to make up 30 yards to get to him.
The spy would never get him. It would be the other guys at the goal line.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was insane. It was terrible. And you know, it's funny about Caleb Williams. The first time I heard his name was when he was a high school freshman at Gonzaga, a ninth grader, and it played out exactly the same. He threw a sideline pass with a couple of seconds to go to set up a 50-yard Hail Mary that he completed in the end zone, and that's what he gets beat on in his return game. Yeah. Amazing.
They say to fully enjoy life, you should collect experiences, not things. Physical things you buy become outdated. They lose their appeal. But an experience lasts forever and grows over the years. That's why I want you to know about the Mervis Diamond South Africa Safari coming this March 2025. Enjoy a five-star luxury adventure with native South African and longtime fixture on the DC diamond scene, Ronnie Mervis himself, leading the group. I've been on the trip twice, and it is spectacular. You'll fly to Cape Town, see the legendary Table Mountain, visit wine country and the spectacular coast. Then it's off to the Kapama Game Reserve to see the Big Five in their natural habitat: lion, elephant, Cape buffalo, leopard, and rhino. Finally, a tour of the Cullinan Diamond Mine in Johannesburg to see where the sparkly magic comes from. All told, 11 luxury days on the ground, all-inclusive, for just $6,300 a person. This is it, people. The banger safari trip of a lifetime. I've been twice with Ronnie. You will not be disappointed. I guarantee it. Book now. Space is limited, and it's filling up quick. For more information, go to MervisDiamond.com/safari or call travel consultant John Almeida at 888-722-4872 and tell him I sent you. Remember, life is short. Collect memories, not things. As the leaves turn and the air gets crisp, it is time for some serious action. Bet on Lord Football, from heart-pounding college rivalries to the bone-crushing NFL matchups. But that's not all. The ice is getting cold and the courts are heating up. Get in on the NHL face-off and NBA tip-offs as both leagues kick off their seasons. And if you want to get really nuts, bet on the election. Won't that be fun? If you've been waiting for the right time to get in, the time is now. Make your winning move today. Sign up at mybookie.ag. Use promo code ZABE, Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo to be eligible for all promotions. Once again, promo code ZABE to get in on the sweet action. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie. Some wild numbers from week number 8, including a wild admission by a guy in Indy. Get to that in a second. But some of the numbers include the Lions now have more passing touchdowns than incompletions on the season. And they hung a 50-burger with their quarterback throwing for well under 100 yards. This team is getting it done a bunch of different ways. And they come to Lambeau this Sunday. I'll be there.
Can I say how loud wrong I was about the coach when he started, when Campbell started talking about biting kneecaps, and I called him a
lunkhead? You can say that. Yep, you did.
And said he would be fired before the end of the season. I mean, I wasn't just wrong. I was loud wrong. And, everybody has their own coaching style. And I've covered Hall of Famers, Bill Parcells, Tom Landry, Joe Gibbs. So, I mean, that's one that I have to eat, and I am truly surprised at what a great job he's done.
While we're buying some suits here, some clown suits, you and I have to get fitted for our Dion clown suits because we pretty much buried him back after 2 weeks. Look who's 6-2.
He's 6-2, but let me say this. And I did say that I think he would leave at the end of the season. I don't still rule that out. Now, he's done better as a coach than I expected, but his sons are leaving. And Travis Hunter's best player, maybe the Heisman Trophy winner, is leaving as well. So will he be able to restock with stars? I don't know. We'll see.
So there's that. And then also, let's talk about when it comes to being wrong about things. I'm sorry, I lost my train of thought because, never mind. It was something else. Okay, so there's some numbers there. Also, the Lions have scored 130 points since the start of week 2. The Giants have scored 10. Also, the Jets lost a game in which they had no turnovers, held their opponent to under 250 yards rushing. Under 250 yards of total offense. And they still somehow lost to the Patriots. The ESPN freakout from guys like Mike Greenberg over, this is the most disastrous season in NFL history. It's just a total disaster. I'm like, yeah, you're just a Jet fan who's butt hurt. You and every other Jet fan thought way more highly of this team than most people did.
The location of ESPN has really hurt the product in this way, that it's located
right on the waterfront, right there. Yeah.
Right, but, well, yeah, Bristol, Connecticut, though. Yes, that's
well, no, but Greeny and Company are in New York City,
yeah,
at those
true,
swanky waterfront studios they built. So they're right, looking at the Jets across the river.
Understood, but the base of this of the operation is right between Boston and New York, and the emphasis on both those cities is ridiculous. It really is, especially when you have crappy teams like the Jets are right now. And, you know, and Greenberg buying in as they were getting Adams and other guys. Okay, they're figuring this out. No. We've seen this movie here. You can't just plug in stars and expect to win. Doesn't work that way.
Here's another number for you. Deshaun Watson for the Browns has never thrown for 300 yards in any of his 19 games as a Brown. Jameis Winston, after doing it on Sunday, combined with Joe Flacco last year, have hit that mark six times in seven combined starts. Gee, how do we solve for X in this algebra equation of what's wrong with the Browns right now?
Yeah. I mean, Kevin Stefanski has to be looking at this like, oh my God. I mean, he what he signed up for and what they had to ride out with Watson. It's, I mean, they may have wasted a playoff team having to play Deshaun Watson, right?
Yes. Yeah, very much so. I think the Browns are so screwed because Watson will come back. His Achilles will heal. He'll say he feels great. He'll be posting workout videos on Instagram. They'll owe him all this money. Haslam still doesn't want to look stupid. They're going to probably be forced to try to run him out again. But the fan backlash will be so severe, it'll be hard to even imagine.
Let me ask you this, even though you've never taken the Hippocratic Oath.
Yes.
Is it possible that the team doctors could take a look at the Achilles and say, we're not going to pass him on the physical, right?
Oh, I thought you were going to say that they were going to repair it real shitty so that it took
three
surgeries. I'm like, that'd be medical. That'd be a lawsuit right there. Come on.
No, you'd go to jail for that.
Yes.
But they could take a look at it and say, no, that's not sound enough for him to get out on the field. I think that's entirely possible. I mean, there is got to be some subjective part of this, don't you think?
I don't know what they're going to do. And if you're the Jets, think about your situation. Rodgers, even though he played okay, and it's the offense that's coming alive as the defense disintegrates once they fire their defensive-minded head coach, he's going to be 42. And he's slowing down to the point where even defensive linemen for the Patriots are saying, yeah, man, even I caught him. That tells you how slow he is nowadays. They can't bring him back for another year, can they?
I don't think so. I don't think he'll want to.
Can he? What if he did? He's Aaron Rodgers. Don't discount the narcissism. The Jets' best move right now, if they were smart, would be to tank like a motherfucker. I mean, literally make sure they can't win another game. Shut Aaron Rodgers down right now. Deactivate, you still got a week. I would trade Davante Adams again. Shut Rodgers down, trade Adams, and say, look, our future is not in this current set. The season's basically over at 2-6. We're looking towards next year. What's Rodgers going to do? Be a bitch about it? Go on McAfee?
Yeah,
so what?
Week.
Good. The worse, the better. You need to make sure you don't win another game. Tank and tank hard.
Maybe people are getting tired of listening to him anyway. That, you know, it used to be every time he opened his mouth on McAfee, it made big news. So, yeah,
that's starting to wane just a bit,
yeah,
right?
Right. Man, I think so.
Okay. Here's the number. Jets scored 21 points, committed zero turnovers, held their opponent to 250 yards of offense. From 1940 until yesterday, Andy, teams in that spot, 20 or more points, no turnovers, opponent under 250 yards. They were 756 and in that spot, but somehow the Jets lost to New England 25-23. They even used all three timeouts in the first quarter of the first half.
Oh, that's good clock management.
Oh my God. Wow. Okay. And then there was the incredible quote from Anthony Richardson when asked, why did you come out of the game for a play late in their contest against the Texans? He said, I ain't going to lie, I was tired. That was a lot of running around out there. The ESPN pundits went crazy on this, as did most sane people who have ever played a sport with a defined leader, and especially football, where the big fat offensive linemen don't get to go, I need a break. Come on in here. I need a break. They have to suck it up and fight through it. Their quarterback, Andy, tapped out.
Well, you will.
And admitted he tapped out.
You will see sometimes a receiver or sometimes
a receiver. Yeah.
Yeah, Razor.
The quarterback. Nobody has ever seen a quarterback admit to tapping out. When somebody printed the quote from him saying, I'm not going to lie, I was kind of tired, the response was, yeah, you should think about lying. That's one you should lie about.
Yeah, this, absolutely.
They should pull the plug on Anthony Richardson today. It's never happening with this kid.
Last year, they were in love with him, and he was...
yeah, because he played three games and got hurt and was done for the year. So it's like the strip tease where the burlesque dancer shows you her leg and then puts her skirt back down. Ba 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 ba. Hey, did that look good? All right.
Yeah, I know.
He stinks. He is so fucking inaccurate. And, you know, they're tracking his completion percentage amongst ranked quarterbacks with X number of attempts, and it looks like a submarine that keeps passing further and further layers of the deep in the open ocean down to the bottom of the Mariana Trench. He is now below not just Jamarcus Russell for the Raiders. He's in some god-awful territory when it comes to quarterback names. He's below Tebow as well, who is inaccurate as fuck.
Could you possibly move him to tight end? He's got that kind of size. I think you got to think about it, but you can't pay him that kind of money either.
Some believe that if Tebow had embraced the tight end challenge, he would have had a nice 10 to 11 year career. Instead, he had a 5-year quarterback career? I'd have to look it up.
Well, he had sort of a celebrity run playing baseball. He made plenty of money, and maybe in the long run, you know, the whole picture worked out better for him. But I remember when he was at Florida, Mel Kiper used to say, oh, he projects as a tight end, and he could be a great one. And it's happened a lot in NFL history. Quarterbacks have moved to tight end and have had good careers.
Yeah. He was 2 for 15.
Oof.
2 for 15 in the first half and did not get pulled because Shane Steichen's like, nope, just got to let him play through it. You know, he's going to get better eventually. These guys that clearly show right away they suck almost never get better.
Yeah, and you know, the big thing that you hear about Jaden Daniels, beyond his physical ability, he is a tape nerd. He's in there at 5:30 in the morning. And that's what it takes. That's how the Bradys of the world and Mannings, those guys become those guys because of that.
And it's not even just like tape. I mean, yes, he does study a lot. I think he's got a fast football brain. He sees things very quick out there. So, all right. Well, we got one more game tonight in World Series game number 3. World Series is getting pretty good numbers, as it better get pretty good numbers with the star power and with the two largest markets in the country and thrilling finishes the last couple of games. I thought the walk-off on Friday night was one of the greatest highlights of the year, until this Daniels Hail Mary hit. But that was pretty awesome on Friday night. And the fact it happened supposedly within a minute of each other, 36 years apart, to Gibson was pretty amazing.
Yeah, and I love the Joe Davis call.
Great.
I
mean, she is gone. She is gone. Direct quote from the Gibson home run in 88.
Right.
And then he also said something else that was a direct echo.
He said, Gibby, meet Freddie.
That's right.
Which I think was great.
Yeah. So are you pulling for either one of these teams or just observing in a neutral fashion?
No, but you know that I like brand names. So
Andy, you sure do.
I have fond memories of the 1970s, those back-to-back 77 and 78, and even in 81 when the Dodgers won. And I do have some connection to the Dodgers because I worked in San Antonio for 3 years and the AA team was there and Fernando Valenzuela came through Hershiser, a bunch of guys like that. So it was pretty cool. Yeah.
Rest in peace, Fernando.
Oh yeah.
So when you saw him in the minors, were you like, you know what, this guy's going to be great?
There was the party before the season, 1980, at the owner's mansion. He was an oil magnet. And I saw this overweight guy sitting on the floor eating a plate of tacos and thought he might be the equipment guy. And in fact, it was Fernando Valenzuela.
And did you say I don't?
No, I just said I don't. And then, you know, he was one of those guys that as the season went on, he got better and better. And by the end of the year, he was throwing one and two hitters, and they brought him up to the major leagues at the end of the year. It's amazing.
Was this the owner, by the way?
Who's that?
Oh, you can't hear it. Sorry. 100,000. Why can't I hear that very loud? All right. It's a levels thing. I got to work on that. All right, Andy. As always, a pleasure, my friend. We'll talk next week.
All right, Dave. Take care.
Let me end on this. The season is young in the NBA, so let's not get too crazy. But right now, through two games, Russell Westbrook, your 2016 NBA League MVP, is struggling, to say the least. Averaging 4 points per game on 20 minutes of burn off the bench for the Nuggets. He is currently shooting 11% from both two and from three. He is a perfectly symmetrical 1-for-9 in both field goal percentage from two and field goal percentage from three. He is also, as if that wasn't enough, but wait, there's more. Minus 37 in plus minus, which means when he's on the court defensively, the Nuggets defense goes to dog shit. Now, again, it's early and it could pick up. But I'm old enough to remember when Russell Westbrook, fresh off being an MVP and then starting to decline, did not like that some people in the media, including Skip Bayless, had turned to calling him Russell Westbrick. And so he said for 4 minutes at his press conference about how much it affected him and his family and was disrespectful and how much the comments are harassing them on a daily basis.
Russ, just off the court, your wife had a social media thread today that I think gave some open kind of a window to some of the extreme things that have happened to your family this season.
They called you names.
Well, it seemed like it was about this season, but I was wondering if there was anything you could speak to that.
Yeah, you know, I think, you know, for one, you know, I 100% stand behind my wife and
yeah, good move.
How she's feeling, because it's not just about this year. Right now, she's reached a point, and my family has reached a point to where it's really weighing on them, and it's very unfortunate.
Weighing on them.
Just for me personally, because...
Poor, poor family. He should have said, how's it spending? Russell Westbrook, according to SpotRack, has made, in his career, $345 million. He's only making this year, with the Nuggets, $3.3 million. But to shoot 11% on 20 full minutes of burn off the bench? Holy shit. That's a lot. I'm not saying sports has gone soft, but I am saying sports has gone way too fucking soft. And unfortunately, there's too many people in the media willing to take this angle and let it get airspace and breathe and not just immediately go, wait a minute, you're an NBA player. You're going to get criticized. You're going to be called worse things than Westbrook. Now, as long as they're not racial slurs and truly ugly and out of bounds or actually threatening to your family, it's just part and parcel. What you could call me for $345 million, it's, believe me, it's a lot worse than Westbrook. Oh, by the way, he's only 36 years old, which I find amazing because he should be viable, being in good shape at 36 years old. He should be a guy who has slowly, gently morphed into a savvy veteran player with a lot of decent basketball left, but it looks like the bottom is about to fall out on Russell Westbrick. Oh, I'm sorry. Did I hurt your feelings by saying it? I went to go look for a bricklaying sound effect that would go with this story. And I found out something interesting. That is, bricklaying is actually quite, it requires a deft touch. Let me put it that way. It is not just throwing bricks in a pile, as Russell often does on the bouncy ball court. Oh no, this guy that I'm looking at here, building his wall, it's like a masterclass in scooping up the, what do they call it, the grout? There you go, listen to that. Tap, 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 gentle tap, scrape off the extra, another scrape. Birds chirping. I could fall asleep to this. In fact, I would recommend anybody who's having trouble falling asleep, Google YouTube, or not Google, but go to YouTube, look up bricklaying. And you'll see this one, the sights and sounds of bricklaying. Poor Russ. 11%, everybody. 11%. Not good. Not good. And it's not like 11% on six shots. He's had 18 shots in two games and 20 minutes a night. It's going to be a long season if he's on the court for the Denver Nuggets. That is a wrap for me. Thank you to Andy Boley for picking up the phone tonight. What a night it was at Landover for the Commanders and all the faithful. I am happy for them, but no, I am not returning as a fan. My team died. Their name is the Redskins, and may they live forever in my warm heart and memory. I've moved on. Thanks. Thank you for listening. Rate and review. Tickle the algorithmic overlords. Tell a friend. Subscribe on Fridays if you would like to support the podcast. And we will see you next time. They say to fully enjoy life, you should collect experiences, not things. Physical things you buy become outdated. They lose their appeal. But an experience lasts forever and grows over the years. That's why I want you to know about the Mervis Diamonds South Africa Safari coming this March 2025. Enjoy a five-star luxury adventure with native South African and longtime fixture on the DC diamond scene, Ronnie Mervis himself, leading the group. I've been on the trip twice, and it is spectacular. You'll fly to Cape Town, see the legendary Table Mountain, visit wine country and the spectacular coast. Then it's off to the Kapama Game Reserve to see the Big Five in their natural habitat: lion, elephant, Cape buffalo, leopard, and rhino. Finally, a tour of the Cullinan Diamond Mine in Johannesburg to see where the sparkly magic comes from. All told, 11 luxury days on the ground, all inclusive, for just $6,300 a person. This is it, people. The banger safari trip of a lifetime. I've been twice with Ronnie. You will not be disappointed. I guarantee it. Book now. Space is limited, and it's filling up quick. For more information, go to MervisDiamond.com/safari or call travel consultant John Almeida at 888-722-4872. And tell him I sent you. Remember, life is short. Collect memories, not things. As the leaves turn and the air gets crisp, it is time for some serious action. Bet on Lord Football, from heart-pounding college rivalries to the bone-crushing NFL matchups. But that's not all. The ice is getting cold and the courts are heating up. Get in on the NHL face-off and NBA tip-offs as both leagues kick off their seasons. And if you want to get really nuts, bet on the election. Won't that be fun? If you've been waiting for the right time to get in, the time is now. Make your winning move today. Sign up at mybookie.ag. Use promo code ZABE, Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo to be eligible for all promotions. Once again, promo code ZABE to get in on the sweet action. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie.